Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 42. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, Clyde Griffith of newcelebrations.com. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It is not a list of rules, nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It is so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the five life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jans and Longacre. I've discussed those standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. I'm glad to be with you today from Paso Robles, California. Clyde Griffith is a lot like me, a retired church worker who desperately wants to do good, who has moved from pastoral ministry to prophetic ministry. We both understand that the meaning of celebrations, especially the biggies like Christmas and Easter, have been distracted by commercialism. It is critical that we tell the real stories of our faith, not those imposed on us by consumer society. Although his website, newcelebrations.com, is currently being reorganized, Clyde posts almost every day on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. He is primarily an information consolidator. He draws together helpful information from many sources. Although I would have preferred to wait for his reconstituted site, I wanted to point out his service close to Easter. I will post a blog about his site when it reappears. Here's what he says on the introduction page of his site. In the midst of the cacophony of all that surrounds us at this time of year in North America, it is increasingly difficult to pause and reflect on the reason for the season and how a more appropriate celebration may be more benefiting. The purpose of this website is to bring together resources that reflect a more healthy, a more sane, a more theologically correct approach to more meaningful celebrations of Christmas and other holidays. Of course, for most of us, Christmas doesn't just happen. All around us, merchants plan for months on end to convince us that they have the solution to our happiness, which, after all, is what we are told the season is all about. At newcelebrations.com, you will find resources to help reclaim Christmas as a celebration and expression of the faith we hold. To truly get a handle on more appropriate celebrations, we need to plan, perhaps just as long as the merchants do. It's not too early. It's not too late. Take a look at what resources have been assembled here. Use what can be helpful to you. With proper planning, you can have the most meaningful Christmas ever. Remember where you are. Share this website with others. Let us know what works for you. Let us know what doesn't work for you. And may you not miss the birthing of Christ this year. In these days before Christmas, browse, explore, and use alternative Advent resources. Expand your Christmas celebrations. Recall traditions of the 12 days of Christmas. And remember Epiphany as the grand culmination of the Christmas season. Those are the words of Clyde Griffith. And now, here's my conversation with Clyde.
I get the impression that you're somehow connected with the Presbyterian Church USA. Can you clear that up for us?
I am connected. I've been connected all my life, I guess. Been ordained for 45 years now in ministry with the Presbyterian Church USA, and pretty proud of it.
Are you a retired minister at this point, or you still have a parish?
I am retired as of a year ago.
Wonderful. Well, now, you run a Facebook page called New Celebrations, And it's interesting to me because the icon that you use, the art you use, is a famous poster that says, "War is not healthy for children and ether beings." Why did you select that for a Facebook page about new celebrations?
You recognize that, huh?
That logo. Oh, you bet. I'm from the 60s too, Clyde.
I know. I found it, and I thought, nobody around today knows really about this. So I thought I'd post it at least as a logo so that some people would know, maybe remember and ask a question about it. But, that is just kind of on a whim I did that.
Okay, but, so this is not a specifically anti-war effort.
No. The whole new celebrations thing, you mean?
Yes.
Not specifically anti-war, no.
Well, now, I noticed that your mission statement says resources that reflect a more healthy, a more sane, a more theologically correct approach to more meaningful celebration of Christmas and other holidays. Okay, that sounds really familiar. That's a lot like the organization that I have run for 15 years called Alternatives and now called Simple Living Works. Let's dig into this a little bit more. Who decides what is a more theologically correct approach to Christmas and other holidays?
Well, ultimately, for my purposes, I do. The Facebook page is really an outgrowth of a web page that I had up for several years and an email newsletter that I put out. I probably had about 30 editions of that email newsletter back in the late 90s and early 2000s. Somehow along the line, I got, when 9/11 happened, it really affected me, and I kind of just took a hiatus from all the work that I've been doing on the internet. And it wasn't until about 4 years ago, I guess, that I started exploring the social media a little more. Thought maybe Facebook would be instead of a web page. And my intention was to archive material that I found other places mostly. But I found that really it doesn't work on Facebook. So I'm going back to a web page construction of some sort, but I haven't done that yet. But back to your question, about what, where, you know, I was influenced by your work, and I don't know, you of course took over from other people that were doing work similar to that, and the publications that you put out, and I felt like other people needed to read them, reading information such as that, that weren't getting exposed to what you were saying. So
that's good to hear.
Kind of, in the beginning, I felt like it was kind of we were mutually hand in hand doing things, but for different audiences, perhaps.
Well, that's really good to hear, because the Presbyterian Church USA has been a long time supporter of Alternatives ever since the mid to late 70s. And then, of course, when Alternatives was disbanded by my successors, I picked it back up, renamed it as Simple Living Works.
Right.
And so it's just an interesting coincidence that when Alternatives went into a short hiatus about 2011, that I started noticing your work and wondered if it was kind of an outgrowth of the Presbyterian Hunger Program, because they had been so active in our lifestyle ministry up to that point.
Yeah, not officially connected at all. Just a local pastor trying to put out the word to spread the gospel of new celebration, that we don't have to celebrate the way we have been celebrating. I came to that conclusion, 30 or 40 years ago, as a local pastor, and just getting going nuts about the whole Advent Christmas season, Advent in the church, but Christmas in the culture, and thought there was a better way to do this than be like everybody else, and I started looking around, and of course, alternative was good source for that, and your work is excellent like for that too. You kind of archived what they had been doing, I think.
Well, I'm really glad that you call attention to what I'm doing now from time to time on your Facebook page, so I want to thank you publicly for that.
You're welcome.
Now
I think what you're doing is very important.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Now a couple of technical questions. You have a very attractive, Facebook page. Your website at this point, as far as I can tell, is one page, which is it's called Introduction, and it's a really good summary of what you're doing, but there are no resources at this point connected to your webpage, which is newcelebrations.com.
Webpage is broken. I'm in the process of fixing it and getting it back together, but it's all broken. The program I was using to put the website up is no longer in service, and so I've been stuck there. But I've got other things going on, and I should have another web page up, I don't know, probably another 3 or 4 weeks, I would hope.
Well, that's good, because you say on your introduction, on the web page that's still there, it says, it's not too early, it's not too late. Take a meaning that we should spend as much time preparing for Christmas as the retailers spend. And so, even though it's Lent time, it's only March, you're recommending that people think ahead.
Think ahead. Yeah, for Christmas. I also had on that original web page, I had resources for many other celebrations as well, including Epiphany, and which I think is badly under celebrated in our culture, and the whole Lent thing. I have an ox to grind on Lent too. I think everybody's doing Lent wrong, except for me. But anyway, I think Lent should be prepared for Easter rather than what a lot of people think it's for today. So, giving up something of that nature. Anyway, that's another story. So I'd say stay tuned for the website, because there has been a lot of information on there in the past, but there's nothing now. Like you say, the one page looks like, I don't know how it got there. It's kind of like a holding page for what it's one of my original pages, but it's not at all what the website's about.
Well, we will indeed look forward to that. Now, since this podcast will be released right around Easter time, why don't you give us an idea? Because it looks to me like you are posting something almost every day on Facebook of resources that you're getting from a whole variety of sources. So why don't you give us an idea of what you think Lent should be about leading up to Easter?
Oh, well, the resources I've been publishing mostly have been things I found other people doing. But what I think Lent should be about is discovering, preparing ourselves for the coming of Easter, for the celebration of Easter, and finding the Christ that answering the question that was posed by the angel there at the tomb. You're looking in the wrong place. And go back to where you came from. That's where you're going to find Christ today. And that's the whole thing, I think. It's kind of like a Where's Waldo thing. That's what Lent is for me. It's a Where's Waldo game. It's where is Jesus? Where's Jesus going to be? And how can we find him?
Okay, let's be more specific now, Clyde. Where are we looking in the wrong place? And where should we be looking then?
Well, all around, wherever the people are striving to be more human, and in wherever people are feeding people, wherever people are tending to people in need, wherever people are visiting people in the prisons, where Jesus said that we would find him. And I don't find much of that going on during Lent in the way most people celebrate Lent. That's just my little soapbox.
Where are we looking in the wrong place then?
Well, we need to start looking in places like that to celebrate Lent, especially if we're going to say we're preparing for Easter, and Easter is about a resurrection in terms of where is Jesus now? Jesus, the body's gone. And he gave us clues. He told us very clearly where we're going to find him. And I think we got to go look for it.
Mm-hmm.
So just read Matthew 25, and that's pretty much my clue. And also, what we should be doing in Lent is more from Matthew 6, which is very clear instructions. And I find that this is where he says, if you pray, you go to a room, close the door, and don't let anybody know. When you help someone, don't let anybody know about it. I don't find a lot of that going on in most people's celebration of Lent or observance of Lent. It's not really a celebration the way most people do it.
In addition to restoring your website and continuing to put resources from other folks on your Facebook page, do you have any other plans? Do you use other social media like Twitter or LinkedIn? Do you have any other plans?
I do Twitter. I don't do LinkedIn. I've never been able to figure out any meaningful way to do LinkedIn. And I'm open to suggestions, but I was one of the first ones to sign up for it, but I just haven't figured it out. And how to get anybody to come pay attention to what I might have to say on LinkedIn. But I do have quite a few followers on Twitter and also Pinterest. Gosh, I probably have 6,000 followers on Pinterest.
Wonderful.
Things that I put up there.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm using those kind of social media these days. I'm trying to figure out how to use it in a way that gets across some of the themes and messages that I've been working on for the last 50 years.
I get the feeling, Clyde, that you try to take a positive approach. This is what we need to be doing, rather than the approach of what we're doing is wrong. So, I mean, for example, Simple Living Works and Alternatives has a very strong anti-consumerist message.
Yeah.
I don't detect a strong anti-consumerist message. I mean, not specifically. It may be hidden between the lines.
Yeah, not specifically, I guess, but it is there. And during Advent, I do postings trying to get people to go to some of the other websites that are geared in that direction. Spending money for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about four across the world. Several of them are in Britain that I think are doing good work. There's more work is being done there than here, I think. Maybe because of their culture. They're not as taken by our commercial activities here during Advent. I call it Advent. They call it. I call it Advent. They call it Christmas.
So, are you talking about things like fair trade?
Yeah, there's fair trade.
And I assume that you recommend that people, as part of their Lenten discipline, but also during Advent, give much more to the needy and spend a whole lot less on themselves.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. And I try to encourage, that's part of what I do too, is try to encourage who is doing good works and how, you know, it might spur a person to say, I want to check them out and see what they're doing. The Presbyterian Disaster Assistance and Church World Service, several organizations of that nature, I try to promote and let people know what they're doing, because I don't think many people hear about them at all, even if they go to church every Sunday somewhere, even if they're Presbyterian.
So you do mention specific charities rather than just a general message about being more generous.
Well, I do that too, but I do specific charities. That's true. Yes. I try to get them a little additional traffic if anybody's interested in what they're doing.
Is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know about your ministry?
It's always expanding, and it's exploring it, and I don't know where it's going to end yet, but it's changing. Like I say, I was at one place 14 years ago, and I'm a little different place now, but of course the Internet's changed in that time, and I have to figure out how to use the Internet. I really did take it. 9/11 just affected me. I just shut down. I don't know. I've looked at it several times. I've sat down and said, what happened? Why can't I do that anymore? And I was doing this. I got started in the social media before my retirement, but my retirement just kind of spurred my action. But some things I haven't gotten done yet, such as the webpage. The webpage will be up pretty soon, I hope. NewCelebrations.com. There's another one I do is Cybermen Resources. Cybermen.com. CYBERMIN.com. And there I've, in the past, and I'm trying to expand on this, the place of archiving resources found on the Internet, that I found on the Internet. For today we have Google, and that's fine if you ask the right questions, but I'm trying to see how a new concept of resource archiving how I can do that. I did that 15 years ago, and I want to see now if it can still be done in a way that anybody's interested in it.
Well, now, I assume that means cyberministry.com? I mean,
yeah.
that's what that abbreviation means, I assume. So
yes.
Is that
right.
Site specifically for ordained ministers?
No, not necessarily, but it's for people who are doing ministry, members, people who want to do Christian ministry. And it's pretty much Christian as well, I think.
I can identify with you very closely. You know, I'm a rostered person in the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and my ministry changed significantly in 1995. Up to that point, I was a pastoral minister, a minister of music, but when I took over Alternatives, then I became what I would call a prophetic minister. And that's what I'm seeing with you, that your ministry is becoming a prophetic ministry. And there are significant differences. With a pastoral ministry, you focus on worship and education and outreach. And pastoral ministries are very concerned about controversy. And they try to control controversy, where prophetic ministries thrive on controversy, and they work to try to help people see the logical consequences of their actions, and can get very specific, where pastoral ministry tends to be very general. Would you generally agree with that, or do you want to discuss that?
I do agree with that. It kind of puts into framework a bit of what I've been going through, especially since I retired. I no longer have a session or a congregation in the normal sense that I have to worry about, you know, worry about offending or worry about what they think, and dealing with them if I say something or promote something on the internet that somebody notices and doesn't like. I had to deal with that at one point. But I'm freer now to be more prophetic, as you say. I like that idea. And it seems like that kind of explains a bit about the freedom that I've found in the last year and a half.
Excellent. Well, do you think you will continue to use your email list and send out an email newsletter, or have you given up on email? I think email is very, very important. Yes, I send out an email newsletter once a month, so I wouldn't give up on email, because I mean, if you're going to have a newsletter, we just want to use all the various ways we have of communicating with people.
Right.
Now, I created a 10-step guide for social media. You know, it's on the Simple Living Works website. I'll put the link for that in the show notes for this particular interview. And you or anybody is welcome to use, you know, what I've discovered about social media.
Okay, great.
I'm not just encouraging you, Clyde. I'm kicking you in the butt.
Uh-huh.
I want you to keep going, because we have just created a commercial mess out of our holidays, which means holy days. And so we need people like you to keep getting the word out and giving people alternatives to the message that the retailers, the corporations, the stories they're telling. We need to be telling our stories of faith.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, they're going to tell stories that somehow you're going to find happiness in life through stuff.
Yeah.
And we need to say, no, you find happiness in life through relationships.
Yeah, that's what I've been preaching in my congregation for years and years. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Yeah.
Well, I hope we can continue to work together in various ways.
Well, I do too.
You've been listening to my conversation with Clyde Griffith of newcelebrations.com. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to feedback@simplelivingworks.org or simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. Comment on our Facebook page or on our Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Well, we've had some wonderful response recently. Our faithful reader Charlie Kyle of Chicago has sent numerous comments on my series of blogs about Lenten resources. For Lent Preview Week 2, which contained a cartoon of a woman with an overflowing grocery cart, and she says to a demonstrator offering her a bottle of wine, "Oh, no, thank you, sir. During Lent, I'm practicing moderation." And Charlie said, "Thank you, Gerald. Your carefully drawn cartoon packs a wallop of a good message that is easier to accept because your wit delivers the point with a smile. As the drawing reflects the recent gospel, the scribes and the Pharisees administer the authority of Moses, so do whatever they tell you and follow it, but stop doing what they do because they don't do what they say. They tie up burdens that are heavy and unbearable and lay them on people's shoulders, but they refuse to lift a finger to remove them." Matthew 23, verses 3 and 4. In regard to Lent Preview Week 3, Charlie said, "Love your illustration. How convenient. Best and blessings, Charlie, Beatitude. In regards to Lent Preview Week 4, Charlie said, maybe following Jesus is like eggs and new life, as the caption of your great illustration reads, of course, with the understanding that often it is scrambled eggs and not even an omelet. In regards to Lent Preview Week 5, Charlie said, Gerald, my brother, your thoughts and illustrations are life-changing. They call for a be attitude and become a go-giver, not a go-getter, nor a go-taker. The Golgotha you picture reminds me of the redeeming grace of music shared in the following links on YouTube video of a youth orchestra in Paraguay whose instruments were made from the garbage from the landfill adjacent to their shanty homes. And of course, I'll include Charlie's link to that YouTube video in the show notes. I received numerous birthday wishes in March. Gerald Stolp, from my early years at Concordia College in Oakland, California, simply said, blessings to you. I appreciate all your efforts to redeem our planet. Rita and I had the pleasure of reuniting with Jerry on a trip to Oregon last August. And Ron Rentner, also from Concordia College in Oakland, said, hey, happy birthday. I'd buy you an ice cream if either of us were in Copenhagen today. To get the joke, you'd need to read my blog, Why Are Danes So Happy? Picture of Ron and me, along with my spouse and daughter, eating ice cream at an outdoor cafe in Copenhagen. And Ron has since finished his duties at the International Church of Copenhagen. See the link in the blog and picture in the show notes. Also from friend Jim Abbott, happy birthday, Gerald. You may remember me from a visit you made to Texas as part of your cross-country tour many years ago. A small rural church with four or five people who showed up, including my dear friend with a big heart who is totally hard of hearing. Keep up with your posts. Thanks for continuing this important work. And I replied, so good to hear from you, Jim. I will remember my visit to your congregation. And you can read post number 150 about that visit. And I'll put that link to that post in the show notes. Jim Abbott then wrote back, Gerald, thanks for the reply and link to your visit. Scrolling down to find it, I ran across post number 143, your visit to Waco, Texas, and a conversation with the editor of the Wittenberg Door. I still cherish my copy of their last print edition. I think that humor about our small-minded approaches to God has a place. I grieve the loss of this voice of sanity in the world of faith. Keep up the good work. One of the things mentioned was the campus ministry program at Texas A&M. Since your visit and a new campus pastor, the program has grown, more than tripled, and taking care of creation is now part of the DNA of this group. Blessings, Jim Abbott. Thanks so much, Jim. On the Living More with Less Facebook group page, I recently read, More with Less, Changing the World One Recipe at a Time. Cookbook fans invited to help choose revise recipes through survey. With one simple idea, a movement was born. As the classic cookbook of thrift and Christian compassion, the More with Less cookbook has given generations of cooks healthy basic recipes that are gentle on the budget and mindful of those who are hungry. A new 40th anniversary edition of the best-selling More with Less cookbook by Doris Jansen Longacre is planned for 2016. The cookbook was originally conceived by Mennonite Central Committee and then staff member Jansen Longacre to address world hunger concerns by encouraging committee members' constituents to reduce their food consumption by 10%. The book offered recipes using less meat and fewer environmental resources before that concept became trendy, and it quickly became a landmark book capturing interest far beyond Mennonites. The new edition will include food color photography, updated nutritional information, revised recipes based on current knowledge, and other revisions. Rachel Marie Stone, author of Eat with Joy, Redeeming God's Gift of Food, will manage the revision, working with an advisory group including a dietitian, representatives from the MCC, and 10,000 villages and other users. So I commented, I look forward to interviewing the editor of the 40th anniversary edition, as I did the 30th anniversary edition of Living More with Less, in episode 12 of Simple Living Works podcast. And I received a response to that brief comment from Lita Claire Ofs, saying, "Thank you so much, Gerald. I just listened to the episode. It's great to have discovered your podcasts. Doris Jansen has had a huge influence on my life." I'll be sure to see the links. I'll put the links to that release and that podcast in the show notes. Well, it's time to wrap up episode 42 of Simple Living Works. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. We'd love to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, at iTunes. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. Find details in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click on About. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution share-alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
And simply live, learn to live simply so others can live.